Last evening, I was at another parish. I guess I was the designated hitter for Father, who needed to be away last night. And as we started Mass, one of the lectors gave a little canned snippet of the lessons, what you as the hearer should be listening for in the three readings and the psalm. And normally I think those are helpful. I don't know. We don't do it here, and that's okay too. But when she came to the gospel, and I'm sure this was a canned piece of paper put in front of her, everything she had to say was about the rabbis and the scribes and the Pharisees who walked around in long robes and wanted the best seats. And she did not say one word, not one word about the widow and her mite. Now, you all know me well enough to know we're going to talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. We are. Anybody remember the mid-1990s? Anybody old enough around here to remember that? All right, let me ask. Do you remember the dot-com millionaires? Oh, man, they were rocking and rolling. Oh, well, I was doing a lot of fundraising at that time. In fact, one of the things I'm very proud of, but in a humble way, is that I worked with the team who did the largest capital campaign up until that time for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. 151 parishes individually, and then a large collective gift for the whole archdiocese. And I heard parish pastor at a rather large dinner give a very good, it wasn't a homily, but a speech on completing their local project, which was building their new church. The pastor stood up after we had had our dessert and coffee and said to the members of his congregation, "I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that we have more than enough money to pay for the completion of our new church. But the bad news is that the money is still in your pockets and in your bank accounts. The building can only be completed when you all dip your hands into your pockets or withdraw some funds from your bank accounts and give that money to this project and give generously." Well, that evening, the congregation felt challenged and so responded generously for the completion of that new church building. Now, I mentioned the dot-com millionaires. I also was still doing capital campaigns when the dot-com bubble burst. And many of those millionaires had an awful lot then in common with our poor widow. You have to be careful. Scripture presents to us the two stories about widows today who had something in common. They were both generous in offering their livelihood to Almighty God. During a famine, the prophet Elijah was directed to go to a widow, a particular widow, in the town of Zarephath. Interestingly, she did not practice the same religion as Elijah, and she was not of the same tribe with him. He asked her for a drink and for a crust of bread. She had only a handful of flour in her jar and a little oil in her oil jug. She was about to prepare the last meal, and I mean the last meal in the house for herself and for her son. The prophet Elijah begged her to give him something out of these scarce resources to eat first before feeding herself and her son. She did as the prophet requested. The prophet assured her that for her act of generosity, the jar of her flour shall not empty or the jug of oil run dry. The prophecy of the prophet was fulfilled, and she and her son survived that famine. And then we turn to the Gospel of Matthew today. Jesus took special note of a widow during what we as Catholics would call the offertory. It was not because she put in much, but because she put in all that she had to live on. 2 small copper coins. I used this story many, many times in doing capital campaigns and offertory enhancement programs, all those sorts of things. And on 2 separate trips to the Holy Land, I got 2 what are called the widow's mite. Now here's the law in Israel. You cannot buy or leave the country with a coin, with an ancient coin. That's verboten. So to get around it, if a jeweler puts it into jewelry, then you can buy it and take it back home with you. I know it's a long way from here to way back in the back, but right there in the center of that little ring is a widow's mite. And right there in this little necklace is a widow's mite. And I kept these close to me all the time when I was doing capital campaigns, because it helped me to remember how Jesus looked at stewardship. These 2 coins in the time of Jesus would have made about 2 pennies. Now, I have a bad back. They used to say, if you see a coin on the ground, you need to pick it up. It's good luck if it's heads up, but if it's heads down, it's not so good luck. Well, my friends, I got to tell you, I see 2 little pennies on the ground, I don't go near them. With my back, I think for just a minute. All right. It's going to be $35 to go to the chiropractor, and then the chiropractor is going to suggest that I go to 6 sessions of physical therapy. And so the copay on those are $35. Those 2 pennies are not worth my bad back. So I just leave those 2 pennies alone. And I bet you do too. Maybe you've got a jar at home. Maybe you've got a special place on your bureau or your chest of drawers where you just throw pennies. We just don't think much of them. Neither did the culture care about these widows' mites. But Jesus did. In the sight of the world, her offering went unnoticed. But in the sight of God, it was much. It was significant. It was substantial. It was based on her financial status. She gave out the fortune she was saving, her whole livelihood, her whole 401k. Yeah, 2 copper coins. She did not give in order to earn some praise or applause, but she gave out of her faith that God would supply and continue to supply all her needs according to His riches and His glory. The message we can derive from the story of the widow's mite is not limited to the generosity of this poor widow. Jesus used the story to denounce religious leaders who are constantly demanding for honor and privileges and who take advantage of the poor. Now, parenthetically, I don't mean to pick on anybody in particular, but I know no preacher who needs his own airplane. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. There's a preacher here in town who only wears one color of suit. It's blue. And all the material comes from Italy. And a friend of mine has a friend who is his tailor. And Bob and I happened to be in there one day about 8 years ago. 8 years ago. And Sam, the tailor, said, I want you guys to come back and look at something. So we walked back there in the back in the sewing room. And there was a beautiful bolt of cloth. And he opened it up. You know, you ladies know how, you know, how you open a bolt. Flop, 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 flop. He said, isn't that beautiful material? I said, yeah, it is absolutely gorgeous. He said, that bolt was $7,000. And I haven't begun to make Pastor So-and-so's suit out of it yet. So it'll be about $14,000 when I finish with it. I don't know of a preacher who needs an airplane, and I don't know of a preacher who needs a $14,000 suit. Especially when you look in my closet. $14,000 in an entire lifetime that has ever resided in my suits, in my closet. But anyway, Jesus' praise of the widow is a radical action. He reversed the temple system, asking those who sit in the front rows to go to the back seats, and those who sit on the back rows to step up and come on up to the front seats. By praising the widow, he was giving recognition to ordinary, simple, but dedicated people who are hardly noticed in places of worship. Now, in the time of Jesus, there was a theological understanding called the Deuteronomic understanding of divine retribution. And it was a theology among the Jews. And it simply said, if you are a good person, God will reward you. And if you're a bad person, God will not reward you. But then they flipped that even upside down and said, I can look at you if you wear a $14,000 suit. You must be God's chosen. And if you're wearing rags, you must be a notorious and evil sinner. So this poor widow, in the eyes of the rest of the culture, oh, she was a notorious and evil woman because she didn't have anything. She didn't have anything. Jesus offers a prize of praise to all unsung heroes and heroines of our faith communities and all those people of goodwill whose significant contribution attracts little or no attention. Jesus mentions the virtue of the widow to demonstrate to his listeners and his followers that true religion is not just external and ostentatious piety, but it's about how much we are able to give of the resources and of ourselves to Almighty God. A generous gift from the heart is the kind of offering truly acceptable by God. And then in that middle lesson for today, the letter to the Hebrews, the writer speaks of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, who offers his own blood. He offered himself as a lamb of sacrifice for us. Jesus became poor so that we could be inheritors of the kingdom of heaven and become rich. After he gave us all he had, right there, all he had, he breathed his last saying, "It is finished." Jesus is a model for the highest form of generosity, which is self-offering in love. So I hope that you'll remember this prayer and use it through the course of the week. It is a prayer from St. Ignatius of Loyola. And he prayed, "Lord, teach me to be generous, to give, and to not count the cost." Amen.